17. Revelation 17. No, I don't either. Yeah. Doesn't bother me either. If it's Sunday morning or something, that'd be different. Especially Wednesday night. Let them run. Praise the Lord. We're usually all over the place ourselves. Amen. Anybody in here not have... what? Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, I don't know where my paper is, so I'll go ahead and get this one. I think you all didn't get chapter 17. No, I didn't put a study number on top of that, but it's chapter 17. So Revelation chapter 17, we went through and read the chapter, talked about it, and then we sent the paperwork home for homework. So Bill's not here, so nobody can cheat off of him. So let's see what happens here. Let me see if I have... I may have to cheat off somebody else. I don't have mine here. Oh, there it is. Nope. It's not filled in. I don't have one. All right. So, Revelation chapter 17. No, I got the sheet. I just don't have the answers. What's that? I better know most of them. Amen. If I'm making stuff up, how would you know? Unless you actually read your Bible. Amen. So there were a couple here that we went over that weren't actually directly in the reading, but we talked about number 7, and somebody is called the son of perdition in the Bible. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. So we sent this home for homework. Everybody get it done? All right. So verse 1 tells us about the great that sitteth upon many waters. All right. And according to verse 15, the many waters represent And yes. So it's talking about pretty much the whole world. The whole world is talking about that great whore has affected or infected, if you will. And that's COVID-19 or whatever you want to call it was not the problem. The infestation of sin is the problem. And that great whore spread that false religion around and got everybody all goofed up on it. I was thinking about this when we sang that song, O sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin. They wouldn't even want you singing that in most churches. How would you call somebody a sinner? O sinner, trust the Lord. Oh, how dare you?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we talked about us being sinners and our account being settled, amen. And they'd be probably pretty good with that. But you call somebody else a sinner, and they're like, oh, that can't be. Brother, do you have a question? Just a number of people. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, peoples could be two or three, but multitudes kind of gives you the feeling that there are many, many, many people. So it's kind of a, tell me, what is it? Yes, it's kind of a vastness, the far-reaching of the great whore. So instead of just saying many people or peoples, it's the multitudes. It's like in when he talks about the multitudes gathering around. Just talking about, I'd say probably a better, more correct Bible definition from the way it's used in other places is probably many people from many different cultures. So you're probably onto something saying they are different, but they're similar. Yeah. We lazied out on some stuff. We say stuff a lot different than they used to. I don't know, y'alls and yuns, and I don't know. But anyway, in verse number 2, the third one, we learn the inhabitants of the earth have been made with the of her fornication. And we know that, again, talking about mystery, Babylon the Great, We're talking about a religious system that has been in existence before Rome, before the Catholic Church was ever called the Catholic Church. And the reason we keep going back to the Catholic Church is that's where all the, in about 350 AD or so, that's where all the pagan stuff was conglomerated into what was Christianity, and they just perverted what we see as Christianity. And that's that system has carried that Babylonian spiritual Babylon till today. But the spiritual Babylon, mystery Babylon the Great, has existed since early Genesis. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 11 is where Nimrod was, and Nimrod and Semiramis and Tammuz is where 90% of the pagan stuff comes from. And that stuff's just been carried on through a religious system called Roman Catholicism. But it's not just, that's the main one. That's the mother of, you know, they call themselves the mother church. And then they had the Protestants break off, but the Baptist beliefs didn't come from Protestants. The Baptist beliefs go back to Paul before the Catholic Church was ever into existence. But the Protestants break off, and then they're going back to the mother. So they, it's kind of funny, because if you think of the verse, train up a child in the way that he shall go, when he is old, and not depart from it. Well, it's kind of like the Protestants were trained up in false doctrine. Then they got out away from it, and they're coming back. It's kind of funny the way that kind of worked out. But the Bible meaning is, you train up a child right, when they get old, they won't depart from it. But training a child is not just do as I say, not as I do. Training a child is being an example. So whenever you look at your kids and grandkids and think knucklehead, go look in the mirror and figure out why they're knuckleheads. Amen? Because we all are. But anyway, the mystery Babylon, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, the mother of all harlots and abominations of the earth. All right. And verse 6 tells us the woman was drunken with the blood of the, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So, there were blood of saints before in the Old Testament even. They weren't church-age saints, but they were blood of saints. And Mystery Babylon was what was killing them. Who was killing the prophets? The Jews that were taking on the heathen Babylonian stuff. They were killing the religious Jews, not the ones that were right with God, but the ones that were religious that had taken on that Babylonian-type thought process were killing the prophets. And then you got the martyrs of Jesus Christ, and we know... It's funny because if you get an old copy of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, like probably 20 years ago or more, and you get a newer copy, see, Rome bought the rights to that and they rewrote it. So you've got a new copy of the Book of Martyrs and they've changed some things in it so it doesn't look the same. Because it told about Rome doing this stuff to Paul and to boiling John in oil and all the stuff they did to all the different saints. But it talks about the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And you, when you're looking at the disciples, the apostles, they were all, except John, as far as we know, they were all beheaded or crucified. Or, you know, and John was boiled in oil, exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and persecuted his whole ministry. But that whole, those people were martyrs of Jesus Christ. But that system, and again, if you look back in verse number 2 where it talks about being made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And it also talks about that golden cup in her hand, and that's one of the symbols of Rome, is that gold cup. And it's mocking the wrath of God. It's mocking the wrath of God, because when that cup's filled up with God's wrath, he's going to dump it out on them. And we'll see later on how, you know, one of the ways he dumps that wrath out. Verse number 6. Number 5 here. Verse 6 tells us the woman was drunken with the blood of the... Okay, we just did that one. Verse 8, which is number 6. Verse 8 tells us that the beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Okay. Perdition. So the bottomless pit and perdition are different. hell and the lake of fire is different. Remember, later in the, at the end of Revelation, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. So hell is not the lake of fire. It is the ultimate destination of hell, the lake of fire is. So there was a person called the son of perdition in the Bible, and that was Judas Iscariot. Remember, Judas was the one that sold Jesus Christ out. And when they were at the Last Supper, the Lord was sitting there, the Son of God was sitting there, and Judas, the son of the devil, was sitting there. So the Christ and the Antichrist were sitting at the table together, and the Antichrist had actually, he actually walked up and kissed Christ and sold him out for 20 feet, or 30 pieces of silver. Remember that? So that son of perdition, remember Jesus Christ said, "Haven't I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And then when he said, when he handed him the sop, which is very interesting to me, that SOP is son of perdition, he hands him the sop, and the devil enters into him. So it was a devil, and then he becomes the devil, which is a type of what's going to happen with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be killed and resurrected. And the devil, the full-blown devil, is going to be on this earth, unholy trinity, and it's going to be game on. It's going to be a, I'm glad we're not going to be here. We'll be watching this from outer space. Amen. But number 8, verses 12 through 14 tells us the kings of the earth will unite to make war with the Lamb. We talked about this before, that God, He unites the nations. He allows, He gathers the nations. He gathers them up so He can show His power all in one place and wipe them out. So where are they gathered right now? Well, I don't know about today, but they gather in New York at the UN. They gather in different parts of the world for UN meetings, and all the nations are against Christ and against Israel. And most of them very openly against Christ and against Israel. But even the United States, unfortunately, is against Christ and against Israel at this point. The United States is just playing a lot of games, politics and money, but they're not really, most of our leadership isn't really pro-Israel biblically. And I think a lot of people are pro-Israel because they know they get blessed by it. They know that the Jews are always, God's always blessing them, and financially and intellectually. He's always blessed the Jews that way. But, yeah, the whole world's pretty much turned on Israel a long time ago, but it's really coming to a head now where you can see it. That's why I believe we're really getting close, really close, hopefully very close to the last days of the church age, brother. Yeah, that's crazy stuff. Probably a little bit less. There's probably mercy even in Biden compared to what this country's done to the Lord in the Bible. But I think biblically you can see that God always allowed leaders to represent the nations that represented the people. And if you look at the, well, you look at the Democrats or Republicans, you say, well, they're selfish, self-centered, greedy, whoremongers, no good, just wicked. Well, that describes a great deal of the United States. It's every man for himself, and you know, that whole people, I don't think they're really joking, some of them, he that dies with the most toys wins and all that goofy stuff. You've heard people say that, seen bumper stickers. It's like the old boy said, that millionaire passed away, how much did he leave? Well, he left it all. He didn't take any of it. It didn't matter how much it was, he left it all. Couldn't take any of it with him. But they're gathered together to make war with the Lamb. The Lord allows that, probably initiates it, puts it in the heart of some of these folks to do this. And in number 9 it says, the blank overcomes the kings of the earth, for he is. The Lamb overcomes, is it the Lamb? The Lamb overcomes the kings of the earth, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. So that was our Revelation chapter 17 study. And again, number 7 is Judas Iscariot. Talking about Judas Iscariot again. 13 number of rebellion, Judas Iscariot, 13 letters. Just an amazing thing. And then again, that son of perdition and Jesus Christ handing the sop, S-O-P, the devil entered into him. There's just some strange stuff about that book here. Strange stuff. With a dumb answer. There are no dumb questions. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. Go ahead. Yes. You said 16? Yes. What's that? Yeah. What it is it's given different accounts. It's talking about seals and vials and different things. It's given different accounts. And it, like, the tribulation ends, and then it goes back through another thing that happens in the tribulation ends. So there's really, like, four accounts of the tribulation that are showing different things going on. And it's kind of like there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's four different segments of Revelation that talking about tribulation, given different things that are happening. But a lot of this stuff's happening simultaneously. And that's the reason it's confusing. When you get to chapter 6 through 19, it is tribulation. I don't off the top of my head remember where the exact... where the exact cutoffs are on all this. We've dealt with that in the past, but I don't remember now. Where it's like the end of the tribulation here, and then the end again, and end again. It shows it ending four times, basically. And then it just shows, again, more things that happen in the tribulation. Instead of the Lord just going, well, these seals are open, these vials are loose, and then everything happened at one time, I don't think we can comprehend all that. So I think that's probably the reason the Lord chopped it up in four pieces, and then we can study it, try to figure it out. Man of Cariot. Of Cariot, man of Cariot. Yeah, it's where he's from. It's Cariot is where he's from. But I don't, sister. Who does? Oh yeah, I mean that is a distinct possibility. And also, I mean, no, but I mean it's hell, the center of the earth. So anybody that died and went to hell's down there, and anything that died and went to hell's there. Well, you get into all kinds of bizarre stuff when you start digging into this, because then you're looking at, when you're looking at these creatures come out that are multifaceted, they have many faces of animals and people and stuff like that. That's the reason God told them to wipe out all the animals and stuff when they went in, because they were procreating with the animals. They were intermingling their seed with the animals, the giants, the devils were, and they were having these beasts. So a lot of the stuff you see in Greek mythology is not really fictitious. It's just a holdover from history. And, you know, we talk about half man, half horse, and all this other stuff, and all these weird things. I mean, to me and to us, it's uncomfortable to even think about it, because it's just gross. But the devil's not really thrilled with not being gross. And the devils, they come in here and they perverted everything. That's why it talked about in the Old Testament the law was so strict on fornicating, adultery, bestiality, all that stuff. But the bestiality part is where you get into this stuff coming out of the bottomless pit. So who knows what these things started out like anyway, because you know the the devil himself was a musical being, and he had tabrets and all these things and all these beautiful stones made on him and all this. And then you have all... Ultimately, evil has no pretty to it. It's just wicked, horrible. And that's what we're going to start seeing as you study out the tribulation, the book of Revelation, in different parts in the Old Testament and New Testament, is all these wicked things coming to light. So, yeah, when did they all get there? I'm not sure. I believe that Genesis 6 is probably part of that. I don't think that's the end of it. I don't think there was like a cap on it then. I think people die. And I think some of the people that we've seen in this world that you would say are just monsters are from that. You look at the serial killers like Hitler and other serial killers. I mean, that's not a popular phrase for him, and that's what he was, a serial killer. All these people and all this weird stuff, and, you know, I think a lot of them people were holdovers from that. And we're all tainted by sin, but some of these people are just flat evil. And I don't know. I don't know it. But, yeah, the stuff that comes out when the pits open, I'd say, yeah, probably from Genesis, at least Genesis 6 on, but maybe Genesis before that even. Yeah, if you study out the name Hollywood and where all this stuff come from, I mean, that's straight out of the pit, too. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So, yeah, that crazy stuff. I'm telling you, there. Right now in the church age, we can't see everything that's going on. I believe in the tribulation, they'll be able to see everything that's going on. I think they'll see the spiritual aspects of things that we can't see now. It's just, yeah, it's wicked. But I'm glad I'm saved. I'm getting out of here before that stuff hits on me. Good night. Praise the Lord. I deserve worse than I'd ever got. I mean, God just couldn't have done enough. But He done so much for me, give me salvation, eternal security. Praise the Lord. And I just, I'll be frying like bacon right now. The Lord's good, though. So Revelation chapter 17, we'll wrap it up there. And what I want to do now is give you a handout for, let me put this up here before I fold it up. Somebody's going to need that. A handout for a review. We're going to start going through a review. We'll do one this week, and then we'll do 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Maybe start doing another review. There's just so much stuff, I just thought maybe it'd be good to do a written review, a part of it right now. So this is Revelation Review 1, and we'll probably do three or four of them. But any questions over what we've covered in chapter 17? Anything about the son of perdition? There's a lot about Judas to be studied that really we've talked about quite a bit of at different times. There's just a lot in there about Judas Iscariot and his connection, being the son of perdition, and the devil come up out of the pit going to perdition. Just a lot going on there with Judas and the unholy trinity there. Any questions at all over Revelation that we've studied, brother? Yeah. Yeah, let me see. Let me go back to Revelation. You said 17? Okay, so we know that God called Jerusalem spiritually Sodom and Egypt because they've taken on all the worldly things. Egypt is a type of the world, so they've taken on all the worldliness when it comes to their religion. And Sodom, we know Sodom had specific sins, and that's what's going on over there right now. So we know that spiritually, Jerusalem was called Sodom and Egypt. However, this great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Jerusalem's never done that. Jerusalem's not a city that rules over the kings of the earth. But there is a city that does, and it's Rome. Rome has, when Jesus Christ was crucified, Rome was in power. When the church is going to be called out of here, Rome will be in power. When the Lord comes back and takes the throne back, Rome will be in power. And then it's over. Rome's going to be in power at the end of that time. I believe so, yeah. And we had talked about... let's look at verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So that those colors are what represent the Catholic Church right now. I mean, anytime you look and see the Pope and them and his things going on, they've got the golden cup. They've even got that censure that they use that has come from paganism, that was a smoking fish liver that's supposed to ward off evil spirits. And the guy holding it's still there, so I don't know what's going on with all that. But anyway, the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, again, please don't misunderstand me. I am not attacking Roman Catholics. I'm attacking that religion. I'm just stating facts about the religion. There are some good people that are saved, that love the Lord, that have been raised Catholic. Some of them still go to the Catholic Church because they don't want to be excommunicated from their families. But there are some good folks that really don't know any better. But the people running that thing, they know better. And they have been connected with all kinds of wickedness all the way through history. And, you know, when you go online, you can't believe everything you say online. They can't make all this stuff up. I mean, some of this stuff you know is true. About the bodies buried in different places over there, about the gold. I'm not 110% sure on this, but I'm very confident that there's a good possibility that this is true, that the Visa card is connected to Rome, and that's where the money goes back off that. Where has it started? Vatican-issued state account or something like that is what it started out at. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of things, and it was the love of money is the root of all evil. And you go in there, and people are in awe of what they can see. And, you know, like the Sistine Chapel and all that. Just amazing picture, amazing sight. But God ain't 100 miles that stuff. Most of the time, he's not with 100 miles that stuff. So they've got all this money and all this power and all this influence, worldly speaking, this carnal power, but they don't have God. And that's what the problem was with Israel in the Old Testament. They didn't have God. They were blessed, and they had a lot of blessings, and they were living in those blessings, but they turned their back on the God and took on all this pagan stuff. And that's when you're looking at this city. Let's see if I can find the verse real quick here. Verse 9, 17. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There's the seven hills of Rome right there. I believe that matches up fine. And if you do a study on where the Vatican came from and the name Vatican, it came from supposedly a pagan woman named Vaticanus or something like that. I can't remember her name now. Vatica. She was the gatekeeper of hell. That's what the Vatican's named after. I mean, just all kinds of weird stuff like that. But they don't tell the church members that stuff. They just tell the church members, if you come in and do what we tell you to do, maybe you'll get in. And they milk people out of all their life and money. You know, and it, not even that, it don't even stop when people pass on. Then they want you to come in and pay the priest so he can try to pray people out of a place that didn't even exist. There hasn't been anything even like purgatory since Abraham's bosom. You know, that's the only thing, closest thing to purgatory. And they weren't waiting to be good enough. They were waiting for Jesus Christ, the one that was good enough to get them out of there. I was talking to a guy here the other day, and he said, oh, let me tell you some stuff about the Bible. You know much about the Bible? I like it when they ask me that, because I go, a little bit. And I really don't know a lot about the Bible. I mean, I feel like an amateur compared to some people. You know, there's some people out there that know some Bible. I said, a little bit. Because usually when a layman asks you that, they found like three things in there, they got off the internet, and they're going to blow your mind with it, you know. I'm like, not always. I mean, there are people out there who never preach nowhere that know more Bible than me, probably. But, you know, I'm kind of like, I got to wait and see what's going on now, what he's going to say next. But he started talking about oh, I don't remember where we got to Easter and Christmas and all this stuff. And I said, yeah, all that stuff goes back to Nimrod, Semiramis, and all that junk. It's not really Jesus' birthday. Oh, yeah. And he went on and on and on. We talked about different things. And he would give me an idea, and I would quote some scripture and say, yeah, over here it says this, quote, it says that. And he goes, you seem very religious. I said, the Pope's religious. I'm saved. I said, I'm not religious. I have a relationship through Jesus Christ. And he looked like he wanted to pull my head off. Well, then he started talking about Mother Mary and stuff, and I thought, oh, this guy's Catholic. I didn't know, because when he's talking about reading his Bible, the last thing I thought was, because most Roman Catholics don't read their Bible, and they're told not to, and then they're not encouraged to. So, but it got really bizarre after that. Really bizarre. I was praying. I said, Lord, don't let me, whatever this guy's got with him, I don't want to carry it home with me, take it to my house. Just leave this being. It got really, really bizarre. Talking about all these weird powers he had. And, anyway, he can solve crimes and everything else, and he's got some solved, but they haven't told him that it's time to unfold the mysteries yet. So I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to pray out of here, because I can't fight this devil stuff. I just got to, don't let me take it home to my house.